A very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 19th April 2022, Tuesday class. We'll be continuing our sharing from this book. The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutra. We are at page 226 on the hard copy. Just relax body and mind, maintain some form of awareness. Then we will off the light so that you can have your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Just relax body and mind, maintain awareness to stabilize your inner awareness for as long as you can. Then silence everything. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything, just go away. This awareness-based meditation is very simple if you know how to do it. And the main intent and purpose is just to develop the inner awareness, which is the awareness nature, the mind that is without thought, is naturally aware. So you can be in the state of relax without thought, then the awareness nature will arise, you will stabilize. So give it a try, relax, maintain awareness, then don't try to know, don't do anything, just aware, finish, allow the mind to settle down until the thought loses its ability to arise, then this awareness nature will arise by itself. Suddenly, you will realize what that thing is. And the beginning of meditation is the beginning of your ability to realize this inner awareness nature, the silent mind. When you are with that nature or that mind, you are very peaceful, tranquil, still, it's just aware. But initially, it's not easy to maintain that mind. Your split second, the thought come in. Activity of mind arise very fast because these are mundane thinking or activity. The Buddha called it sankhara activity. That sankhara activity and movement, they have been so habitual, they keep on arising. Because throughout the day, living being, when they go through life, they think a lot. They worry a lot. They have a lot of views, opinions, and conditions. That's why their mind react to sense experience. Their mind create proliferation of thinking, thought process. So meditation is to silence everything, to observe. Through that silence, natural understanding will arise. Then when you are completely silent without thought, that type of awareness that observe is different. The silent mind observes truth. Observe the reality. Observe whatever that arise and pass away. Then it can insight into phenomena. It can awaken. It can realize a lot of profound understanding and truth. That is what the real awareness-based meditation is all about. Then when you are completely relaxed and aware, the mind become very different. It become very sensitive, very still, very tranquil. Then it has the ability to understand many things. How thought arise, how thinking arise, how memory condition thinking. Then you will see clearly how thought arise in response to memory. Without memory, there is no thought. But when there is memory, there is thought. So all this understanding will surface, then you will also see how everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomenon. The most obvious thing is the curious mind, the heedless thinking mind. So why did it think a lot? How does thought arise? You can find out. Basically, it's the lack of wisdom, lack of right view, lack of right understanding. So dependent on ignorant, it condition, sankhara activity, mental activity. Ignorant means ignorant of the truth, not knowing what is going on. So the mind that is curious and wants to know will start to think. So one thing to know, one thing to experience, creates that curiosity for the arising of thought. Then the accumulation of memory, views, opinion, and conditioning create further distortion of perception that will trigger more and more verbalization, more and more thought formation. Then the internal chattering, the internal dialogue become very obvious and very habitual. That's why the mind cannot be quiet, cannot be peaceful. So in order to see all this and reverse it, we need to silence our mind. We need to develop this inner awareness so that we have the ability to understand what is going on. Then the ability to understand is the beginning of change. Then we can ask ourselves, why are we this way? How can we overcome all this? How can we reverse all this and realize our true mind, our true nature, so that we need not become heedless? We need not think the way we used to be. We need not stir our mind and react to sense experience. Then we realize all of the suffering, misery, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the sorrow, and the lamentation, they need not arise. They only arise when there is delusion, there is ignorance, when we lack understanding. So this is the explanatory part where if you already develop the ability to be aware, you will be able to understand all this. So now I will let you meditate on your own. I will set the alarm for 30 minutes. Then you can proceed with your awareness-based training and meditation. Okay. And we shall continue from where we stop. Page 226 of the hard copy. Okay, we will read the sutta. But at that time, the Bodhisattva Maitreya, wishing to resolve his own doubt, and further regarding the thoughts of the fourfold assembly of bhikkhus, bhikkhunis, upasakas, and upasikas, as well as the thought of the assembled gods, dragons, ghosts, spirits, and others, questioned Manjushri as follows. So we have the question and the prose section followed by the narration. Commentaries. We have talked about ghosts many times, but what are ghosts? I know, you say, they are hungry ghosts and they are full ghosts. Well, what are hungry ghosts and what are full ghosts? In Chinese, the word ghost, kui, is pronounced as kui, which sounds the same as the word which means to return, kui. This means that when people die and become ghosts, they return. Where do they come from? They came from the Buddha. Now they return to the hells or to the path of hungry ghosts. Why must they return there? Because they took the wrong road. They took their own, they took for their own territory that which is not their own territory. They took the wrong road, and so they must return as ghosts. After this, when the word ghost comes up, you should remember that they are ghosts because they took the wrong road. They still must come back, return. In Chinese, ghosts are called gui, and in English, they are ghosts. You could say go, go, ghost, go where? They go off to hell, to hell, to hell. In English, a ghost is one who goes. Although I can't speak English, I can explain this English word. Spirits are called natural minded. They have spiritual penetration and evoke spontaneous response. Maitreya Bodhisattva asked Manjushri as follows. What are the reasons for this potence, this sign of spiritual penetration for the emanation of great light, which illuminates 18,000 lands in the east, so that the adornment in all those Buddha worlds are fully seen? So this is the question proper. Commentary. Great Bodhisattva, son of the Dharma King, please be compassionate and tell me what are the reasons for this potent. What is the principles involved? Why has the Buddha now emitted light, which is so great that illuminates 18,000 lands to the east? These signs of spiritual penetration are truly, I think it should be rare, not great, are truly rare. I have never seen the light of them before. What is the reason for the immense emanation of great light? It doesn't just shine nearby. It shines across 18,000 lands. We think that going to the moon is so remarkable and a historical first. Sakyamuni Buddha put forth light that shone across 18,000 world systems. That's even further than 18,000 moons or 18,000 stars. So that the adornment in all those Buddha worlds are fully seen. Not just a little bit was seen. They were seen in the entirety. How big the country was, how it was superbly adorned, all this appeared. Then we go on to the sutta. Thereupon Maitreya Bodhisattva, wishing to restate his meaning, spoke verses asking, Manjushri, what is the reason for the guiding master's emanation from the white hair between his brow, of a great light which shines everywhere, and for the rain of Mandaravas and the Manjushaka flowers, the breeze of fragrant Chandana, which delights the hearts of all those assembled. Through these causes and conditions, the earth is all adorned and pure. And within this world, the earth trembles in six different directions. Then the fourfold magnitude rejoices all together. In body and in mind, enraptured, they obtain what they have never had. Okay, then we had the outline, verse section, restatement, former question, asking about the sixth, tenth commentary. The Bodhisattva Maitreya wishes to restate his meaning, to speak the doctrine one more time. Why did he want to go to the trouble of saying it all again? It was just because he feared that you and I, the living beings of today, would not understand. And you had the nerve to think of it as trouble. Don't have such doubt. He spoke verse asking, Manjushri, what is the reason for the guiding master's emanation? What is the guiding master? Guide means to lead forth of the road of darkness onto the road full of bright lights. That is what is meant by the guiding master. Who is the guiding master? Shakyamuni Buddha is the guiding master. He takes us out of the hells and back to our original home. Now we shall return to our genuine home, to the place where Shakyamuni Buddha lives, the pure land of eternal still life. That's our true home. What is the reason for the guiding master's emanation? Why has the world-honored one emitted light from the white hair between his brow? This great light which shines everywhere illuminates the entire universe. Previously in the prose tag, the light was said to shine across 18,000 worlds to the east. Here it says shining everywhere. And so I explain it saying that the light shines not only in the east, but to the south, north, west, and the four points in between, and up and below as well. It shines in all possible directions. And for the reign of Mandara Vas, and Manjushata flowers, it rain not water, but Mandarava flowers. They are as beautiful as you could possibly imagine. When you see them, your heart is overjoyed. I've never seen such beautiful flowers before. They cause your heart to be extremely happy, and they are called the flower which goes along with your wish. Manjushaka flowers are red flowers. They are not only beautiful, but soft as well. They can't be crushed. However, and if you wish for big blossom, they are big. If you wish for small blossom, they are small. They are especially beautiful. The breeze of fragrant chandana. Chandana incense can be smelled at a distance of 40 miles. Delights the hearts of those assembled. Seeing the flower, their hearts rejoice. They are filled with joy. They have never been so happy before. Not just one of them was happy, the entire assembly was happy. Through these causes and conditions, the earth is all adorned and pure. Because the flower have cleansed, purified, and adorned the earth, no one need to sweep it. It's sparkling clean. And within this world, the earth, that is our world here, tremble in six different directions. The six type of earthquake have already been discussed. They represented the six sense organ. Those who don't work hard won't know about this, but those who do may sometimes find their eyes blink very fast, like an electric fan. If you haven't had an experience, you may wonder, has a ghost come? Why are my eyes blinking like this? It's not a ghost. It's a result of your hard work. Sometimes you may hear birds chirping, wobbling, or the sound of cows and horses. You need not be afraid. It's just the occurrence of one of the six types of earthquake: shaking, surging, rising, crushing, roaring, and banging. Shaking refers to movement in one place, universal shaking. refers to shaking throughout the four continents. But you should not think this is a particular big earthquake. It's not as big as the shaking of the entire 3,000 great thousand world, which is called a cosmic shaking. Shaking, universal shaking, and cosmic shaking represent the eye organ. The object of the eye consciousness, the same also apply to the other five senses. The sixth sense organ, the sixth sense object, and the sixth sense consciousness makes up the 18th sense shrine. Each of these six types of earthquake has three divisions, making 18, which represent the 18 fields of sense. The light illuminating the 18,000 world to the east also represent the 18 sense shrine. Crushing occurs in one world. Universal crushing occurs in the four continents. Cosmic crushing occurs throughout the entire 3,000 great thousand worlds. Each of these six types of earthquake has these three divisions corresponding to the 18 realms of sense. Then when the great earth shake, the fourfold multitude, the bhikkhus, bhikkhuni, upasakas, upasikas, rejoices all together. This is the portent of the rejoicing of the assembly, embodied and in mind and raptured, please, to the extreme, as they obtain what they had never had. In the past, they had never been as delighted and happy before. They obtain what they never had before. So that is the explanation. Okay, the next part of the sutra. The bright light from between the brows shines into the eastern quarter, causing 18,000 land all to become of golden hue. And from the Avijja hell upwards to the peak of being, within each of the world are seen the beings within the six paths, their six destiny in birth and death, their coming condition, good and evil, their retribution, favorable or ill. All of this is seen herein. Okay. We go to the commentary. Huh? The bright light from between the brows, the commentary say, the white hair mark located between the Buddha's eyebrow emit a great light which shines into the eastern quarter, causing 18,000 lands all to become of golden hue. And from the Avijja hell, from the lowest point upward to the peak of being, there are the three realms of existence, the realm of desire, the realm of form, and the formless realm. The peak of being referred to the heavens of neither perception nor non-perception. This is a formless realm, the highest of the formless realm, which is the fourth station of emptiness. This is located in the form realm and can't be said to have any particular form. It should be the word formless. This is located in the formless realm and can't be said to have any particular form. Nevertheless, the Buddha now emits light which shines all the way to the top of the formless heaven. Within each of the world are seen in all the worlds in the limitless Buddha land, the beings within the six paths or the six destiny, the path of the gods, the humans, asuras, hell beings, hungry ghosts, as well as the animal realm. Their destiny in birth and death within the six destiny or six paths. Living beings are born and then they die. They die and then they are born. Birth, death, birth, death, 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 birth, death, birth, death, death. They spin around the in the revolving wheel of the sixth path of rebirth. So this is the sixth destiny, Liu Dao Lun Hui. Although you are a human being in this world, don't think that you will always be so. If your actions are good, you may be assured of keeping a human body. But if you have evil deeds or do evil deeds, you will lose it. Then what will one become? Haven't I already told you? You can go to hell, become a hungry ghost, or turn into an animal. There are karmic conditions, good or evil. Perhaps your deeds and goods are good, or perhaps they are evil. Goodness create good karmic condition, and evil had evil karmic condition. But the deeds are done, and the condition created by you alone, it is said. Good and evil are two diverging roads. You can cultivate the good or commit crimes. Cultivate means to practice the way. Commit means to create offenses. There is a road, a good road and a bad road. It's up to you to choose which one you will walk. If you walk down the good road, you will create good karma. If you walk down the evil one, you will create evil karma. There are attributions, favorable or ill, good or evil, refers to condition on the causal ground. If you plant good causes, you will receive favorable retribution. If you plant evil causes, you will receive bad retribution. A favorable retribution means that everything is as you wish it to be. An unfavorable retribution goes against your wishes. Favorable and ill refer to the effect of your prior karmic action. If you plant good seeds, you will reap a favorable fruit. If you plant evil seeds, you will reap an ill fruit. All of this is seen here. The turning wheel of the sixth path or the sixth destiny, the interrelated process of creating karma and undergoing retribution, is all seen here in the dusk come one's white hair monk like. That's why when the light shine, those with the wisdom high, they can see, they can understand. Okay, we will move on to the next part. Sutta. Further seen are the Buddhas, the lions, the sagely master, expounding of the sutra scriptures of form of subtlety and wonder. Clean and pure is the sound of their soft, compliant voices, teaching all the bodhisattvas numbering in the countless million. The Brahma sound, profound and wondrous, fill those who hear with joy. As within his world, each one proclaimed the proper Dhamma. Through various causes and conditions, the limitless analogy, they clarify the Buddha Dhamma to enlighten living beings. Okay, asking about seeing the Buddha and hearing the Dhamma. So we go to the commentaries. Further seen are the Buddhas. The Buddha are seen as well. The lions, the sagely master, they are the master among the sages, expounding the scripture, sutra scriptures. The great Vahika Sutra, which are the foremost, which are of foremost subtlety and wonder. This is truly rare, wonderful Dhamma. Clear and pure is the sound. The Buddha's sound is extremely clear and resonant. Of this soft, compliant voices, their voices are both resonant and soft, compliant, delicate, and beautiful sounds, which pleases the ear and delight the hearts of the entire assembly. According to whatever kind of sound each person likes to hear. The Buddha's voice takes on that quality. Teaching all the bodhisattvas, the Buddha teach and transform all the bodhisattvas, numbering in the countless million. Their number is the countless myriads of million. The Brahma sound, profound and wondrous. The clear, pure sound are extremely deep and fine. Fill those who hear with joy. The more people hear it, the more they enjoy hearing it. As within this world, each one proclaims the proper Dhamma. All the Buddha residing in their own world expound upon the proper Dhamma, the genuine Buddha Dhamma. Through various causes and conditions, people are not the same. They have varying disposition. And so when teaching the Dhamma, the Buddha employs various types of causes and conditions to teach them and cure them of their differing bad habits and fault. And limitless analogy. Limitless means they can't be counted. The Buddha uses numerous analogy to teach the Dhamma, all for the sake of leading living beings to understand the genuine Buddha Dhamma and cultivate in accord with it. So the text says, they clarify the Buddha Dhamma. How do they clarify it? They use wisdom to brightly illuminate it. They use the bright light of wisdom to bring about the understanding of all the Buddha Dhamma. To enlighten living beings, they cause all living beings to gain increasing wisdom and bodhi. It's like digging a mine. The mine may contain coal, but unless you find a way to dig it out, the gold will not appear. The Buddha nature is inherent within the self nature of living being. But unless you explain it to them clearly, they will not understand the inherent Buddha nature and they will be unable to cultivate it. So this part, I have to explain a bit. You see, when the Buddha mentioned the Buddha nature is inherent within the self nature of living being, this one is very true. But how many of them can really develop the understanding of it and come to realize it? So it is mentioned, but unless the Buddha explain it to them clearly, they will not understand the inherent Buddha nature and they will be unable to develop it or cultivate it. So this is very true, like what we have gone through. We already have the understanding that each and every one of us, we are the same. We have the Buddha nature, which is the oneness nature that all beings actually has. But before you develop the understanding of it, you may not even know, because of the problems related to creation. Creation existence leads to the arising of living beings. So living beings, when they are born into this existential world, they forgot who they are, what they are. That's why they don't really know that they have the Buddha nature within their own form and mind. And the form and mind is the only vehicle that can allow you to come to this existential world. And you need this form and mind to develop the cultivation, to connect to that nature within, and to realize it. That's why it is not easy. Even from our own sharing over the past maybe 10 over years. Those who started early with me from the year 2004 is already about 18 years. So over these years, as my nature share and teach, you may pick up some form of understanding, but it is not easy for cultivator to really comprehend it and develop it. To have a maybe initial understanding of what it is in the form of knowledge or in the form of concept or idea is maybe possible, I call it possible. But to really develop the understanding of it, to touch it, is not so easy, not so straightforward. Even after you have a glimpse of it, that is just the beginning. Then you need to develop further understanding to stabilize it. After you have stabilized it, you have to develop further ability to transform it. And this process takes a long time because it's the perfection of it. That's why you take the sainthood way. You may not understand much, but you can develop enough wisdom to break free from the sixth destiny, from the process of birth and death, means the birth and death or the segmented body, it can end. That's why no more rebirth, no more coming back, and the being that had realized the enlightenment of Arahantship can cease to be, means the form and mind upon realization cease. Then there is no avijja. No avijja means it don't have the causes and conditions to reconnect or recondition rebirth consciousness, which means that form and mind, that nature of that form and mind, even though there is a karmic nature, but it ceases to be where it cannot come back anymore. The cycle of birth and death has been broken. Unless the being, at the time when he realized Arahantship, he has the understanding of the Bodhisattva way, then he can make the Bodhisattva vow, then develop the faith, saddha, virya, and determine through the vow to bring forth the causes and conditions for the Bodhisattva way to take effect. And then there is a possibility. Yeah. Then from there, of course, the whole cultivation can take off. And it is over eons and eons and eons of cultivation to develop the perfection that enable living beings to become Sammasambuddha. And initially, maybe you progress along the path of the Bodhisattva way to become more and more experienced and more developed in your understanding and perfection of all the 10 perfections, leading to finally becoming great beings. Then after that, the whole of the cultivation become very clear, very easy, and very straightforward. And from there, you develop your ability to transform, to realize that perfection of Sammasambuddhahood. Then from there, you will understand that all living beings, we have that inherent nature within, which is the Buddha nature, the oneness nature. So all this understanding is not easy, but can be developed. Okay, we go back to the notes. Okay, the sutta part. To those who have encountered suffering, various sickness, aging, disease, they speak about Nirvana, which brings all suffering to an end. This one is very interesting. You know, most living beings, when they go through life, they experience the first noble truth realities. So they encounter a lot of suffering, a lot of misery, especially old age, sickness, and death. Then they also have the other conditions within the first noble truth reality. The other total, there are eight realities. So when they experience this, they realize suffering was not easy to endure. It can lead to a lot of misery. So living being over time create the opposite. They want to be free from suffering. They want to bring all of suffering to an end. That's why they speak about Nirvana. So the teaching, in fact, has the explanation, especially the third noble truth. He says suffering need not be, the Buddha said. Enlightenment in the here and the now, Nirvana can be realized. So this part is actually for living beings who actually long to realize the enlightenment. And I read on. To those possessed of blessings who have made offering to past Buddhas and resolved to seek the Supreme Dhamma, they speak of enlightening the condition. So this part are for those with blessings and those who have made offering to past Buddhas and resolved to seek the Supreme Dhamma. So they speak of the enlightening the condition. To those who are the Buddha's son, who cultivate various practices, seeking wisdom unsurpassed, they speak of the way of purity. So we go to a commentary. To those who encounter suffering, although common people suffer, the more they suffer, the more they like it. And the more they suffer, the more suffering they encounter. Basically, affliction is the cause of suffering. The cause of the suffering we undergo. But people don't want to put their affliction aside. They want to keep the communication link between themselves and their affliction. They can't leave them. They can't separate from the causes of their suffering. The more they suffer, the more they must suffer. When their suffering reaches the extreme point, they fall into the hell, where they suffer eternally, never obtaining happiness. That's the way it is with common people. And this one is very true. This one, you better be careful if ever you want to avoid falling into the hells. See, here, I think it's a direct translation from the Mandarin. That's why the English sound very funny. The more you suffer, the more you will suffer. But I believe in the Mandarin version, there is a like very poetic rhyme. So the next sentence is very beautiful. When their suffering reaches its extreme point, they fall into the hell. Means all the three evil roots you commit until you already have everything fulfilled to be sent down to take birth in the hells. What will happen is, when their suffering reaches its extreme point, they will fall into the hell, where they suffer eternally. This word is very true. You don't think it's a joke. Suffer eternally, never obtaining happiness. Do you know? You see all the hell being depicted as what? especially the Chinese cosmology, and sometimes you see them drawn in certain places. I remember Singapore, the Haw Par Villa, which I visited with my father, 1971, I think, when I finished my Form 5 exam, my father promised me to take me on a trip to Singapore. So I went to Singapore. So at the Haw Par Villa, there was this drawing about the hell rhyme, various type of hell. So that time when I saw those calligraphy, I knew what it was like. They had this drawing where the wok, the very big wok with the boiling oil. Yeah. Then these hell beings, they were being like thrown inside. It's like roasting pig or roast chicken and all those things. And it's unending, unending. Yeah. Then you have the hell where they spear you, unending. Yeah. There's an analogy that Sakyamuni gave. He told the king, I remember. He said, the hell being, when they suffer, he said, he compared with the king. He said, let's say you are the king. Then there is a prisoner or a robber who commit very severe crime that needs severe punishment. What say if you punish him with the spear, morning, you spear him, I don't know how many hundred times, I forgot already, but he did die. Then after that, you let him rest. Then afternoon, again, you do the same. Then evening, again, you do the same. He said, you can do this continuously, or maybe until that person finally die. But this type of suffering is nothing compared to the one in hell, the Buddha told the king. So if you still believe it's not serious, then go ahead. But do not regret when you go to hell and when you experience hell. So it's really for eternity. So this part, keep in mind. Okay, so we go back. We go back to the commentary. Okay, I'll read a bit more. That's the way of the common people. So normal deluded, heedless people who don't understand, don't believe, they will do that. Those of other religion wish to end suffering, but they are unable to find a path which will lead them out. They cultivate and uphold methods of their religion, but they are unable to end suffering. They continue to undergo suffering, and although it is not as intense as in the hell, they may still run off and become hungry ghosts if they are not careful. Those of the outside way, means white out, cannot ultimately put an end to suffering. This one is what the Buddhists believe, because without this Dhamma, you cannot realize that cessation, and you cannot realize that cessation. You cannot break away from the cycle of birth and death. That's why suffering cannot end. Birth and death will continue for eternity. Maybe this part is unique to the Buddhist teaching. You know, the Buddhist teachings of the Dhamma leading to enlightenment is very different from the other religion. The other religion is they believe they can reach salvation. They can be born in the kingdom of heavens or God. Then they will have the eternal life and all those things. But it is a completely different philosophy, a different understanding. But the true understanding of life, existence, the form and mind is so different. In the context of the Buddhist teaching, it's very clearly like defined and can be realized in the here and now before you die. So all this is where the difference is. Okay, we read on a bit more. There are also people who are intelligent and clever and have a bit of worldly wisdom. They have a thorough understanding of mundane Dhamma, but they do not understand transcendental Dhamma. They run into causes and conditions of suffering. They have no way to bring them to an end. Wishing to end suffering, they only succeed in running into more suffering. Do you know how they think? They think, perhaps I shall rob someone of his money, and then I won't have to suffer anymore. So this must be a joke that Xuan Hua created. Because this kind of people have small measure of intelligence, he knows how to cheat people. He catches someone off guard and sneak off with his wealth and take it by force. In spite of the fact that he is wise, in inverted comma, other people also have wisdom. He may think he can get away with his clever trick, but eventually he sets off a burglar alarm. The police get the call and take him to jail. If the crime is minor, his time may not be long. For a heavy crime or offense, he may be in for a long time, like life sentence. He thus receives his retribution while in the world. So this one is just some form of sharing regarding the law of karma, cause and effect. What about the future? People like this cannot end suffering. Where do they go? In the future, they may become animals. There are various reasons for falling into the hell rhyme or become an animal or a hungry ghost. It's not just a matter of one kind of cause and condition. I am simply mentioning some of them, but these are not the only ones. There are all manners of causes and conditions which can lead one to fall into hell, into the three evil path, means the three evil destiny, and endure the suffering there. Okay, we end here. I think this is the page we will end. So before we continue with the second session, maybe I just summarize a bit. So earlier on, the sharing from the sutta, he gave the description of whatever that is there. Then later on, he zeroed in on the teachings that is to be shared. So the teaching is to be shared is about the six destiny, Liu Tao Lun Hui, the birth and death. The Mahayana simplified into the six destiny because they summarize all the heavenly beings into one destiny, the realm of the heavens. Then the five, they are the same as the Theravada. Below the gods are the human realm. Then below the human realm is the demon realm, followed by the three evil destiny. That's why you have the six destiny. So the way you live your life will decide where you take your rebirth. Then as long as you do not have the understanding of how to realize the cessation of nirvana, leading to the end of all rebirth, then there is no way you can end your coming to this existential world. Means samsara, which is the cycle of birth and death, it will continue for eternity. That's why for those teachings that doesn't have this type of truth, it's really true. They can maybe take rebirth in the highest heaven, which can be very blissful, very beautiful. But over time, sooner or later, they will fall and finally can even go down to the hell realms, unless they realize some form of enlightenment leading to the end of suffering. cessation of form and mind, means ability to end birth and death. But so far, from what we see in this world, there is yet another religion that I have heard about or read apart from the Buddhist teaching that has this style of enlightenment or cessation. But anyway, it's just for personal understanding, knowledge. So as cultivator of the way, we should have a lot of gratitude towards the Buddha. And also for our good karmic nature and spiritual nature, to have the cause of Sangha Dihan to realize this truth and this path, to come into affinity with the Triple Gem. That's why apart from the Triple Gem, liberation from birth and death is almost not possible. Unless there is a similar teaching that can lead to the end of the cycle of birth and death, which is the karmic cycle. So to break free from the karmic cycle is not easy. You must realize the unconditioned. Then the mind that realizes the unconditioned must cease. And when it ceases without ignorance, that's how the rebirth consciousness that has ignorance no more, then there is no more rebirth of the segmented life, born of avijja or ignorance. Okay, with this, we will open up for sharing. Yeah. So, as usual, is there anybody who wants to come in and report meditation or do the sharing and ask any question that is related? Yeah.
Good evening, Ratio. Can you hear me clearly?
Yeah, clear. Loud and clear. Very good.
Good evening, Brother Teo, Mr. Teo, and all Kalamitas. Before I nominate somebody, maybe I discuss a bit of
this
Dharma teaching.
Yes.
Brother Teo, is like when we talk about samsara and cessation of samsara and subsequently to go to the higher realms and all this. We are actually most fortunate to be able to have this opportunity to learn especially the true Dharma in this lifetime itself. So of course with this I will put in my utmost effort we are talking like cessation and all that, which seems to be so far away, so difficult, Brother Teo. It can be realized, and I would like to congratulate some of our kilometers who are able to be on the path. Okay.
Yeah.
Very near to it. Today's world, as we can see, it's going through like a cycle of deterioration.
Very chaotic.
Very chaotic. It's like there's hardly any part of the earth that is not going through some form of
disaster or misery.
Either man-made or natural. You know, especially with the pandemic, that's really caused so much suffering to everybody.
Correct.
Now, even with the Ukraine and Russia war,
it's again
affecting another.
Yes.
You know, it's like bringing unnecessary
hardship
to a lot of people.
Yeah. To the whole world, it creates a lot of distortion to the economy, to the pricing of commodity.
Food scarcity is getting very.
Thing has been threatened.
Brother, what do you feel about the food security and the food scarcity?
Yeah,
from what we see that. it's sort of like not an actual fact, but also created by certain people.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Certain organizations to
gain. Yeah, out of their selfishness and very short-term negative intent, yeah, which is very true. They make use of this to create panic, fear, then they cause disruption to the fluctuation in what they call prices of commodity, food, even the stock market, even the various type of bond prices and also activity that actually has impact on the humanity in this world. That's why they can cause a lot of disruption, not only in economy, the economic effect will cause riots and upheaval in the country like Sri Lanka, Pakistan, and many other countries. They are affected. And now, like you said, the food crisis, I think South African countries, even generally African countries, they suffer because they have the food problem. They don't have enough what they call the agriculture.
Yeah, land for agriculture.
Yes, they don't have enough forward planning to develop their food sufficiency. So a lot of countries that depend on the world for their food, they will suffer. In fact, a lot of Western countries depend on the wheat from Ukraine and Russia. Well, these two produces almost 1/3 of the world consumption. Then oil, Russia is holding a lot of oil. So gas and oil is also being disrupted. Then a lot of minerals come from these two countries. In fact, the semiconductors and many other things that need certain type of minerals, they are also being affected. And like you say, the speculators and all these unscrupulous entity, they create the fear, the panic, and the market volatility to make money. Then all this create a lot of speculation. Then they will go and write until as if the oil price is going to hit $200 and all this thing. And then they will add in a lot as the economy open up, the airline get to fly again, the fuel consumption will go up, the demand for oil will be there. Then with the war, the shortage will be felt everywhere. So all these are fueling a lot of panic, a lot of fear. And this has a very strong impact or spin-off effect on the mind of human beings. Out of fear, people simply buy things, hoarding things and all those things. And even with the recent lockdown in Shanghai, there were cases where food is actually in demand and the supply chain cannot cope. And also because of what happened, it actually caused a lot of disruption to the logistic industry. So now to get your goods to move to certain places is not easy, because all these big shipping companies, they are also being affected. Then the supply chain is a very big headache. Then with China, with the pandemic, the slowdown is going to affect the world, because the world actually depends a lot on China's cheap goods.
Relatively cheap goods. And the manufacturing.
The manufacturing sector and all that. So all this have a huge impact. Then unless the world really come back to sanity. I use the word sanity.
yes, my real friend,
it's
sanity.
So easy.
Yes.
Huh? When they come back to sanity, then maybe there is possibility and hope for things to be resolved. But at the moment, from the look of it, it's a lot of very negative type of leaders around, being influenced by all the what they call greed and selfish intent behind. So they are still fighting. They are still doing a lot of sanctioning and all those things. Is to benefit certain people, not really do it for justice or what. It's like taking revenge, seizing upon opportunity. It's like they are very happy with the war. You see, when you have war, then you supply armament to one side. That is,
yeah, the arm industry.
You are creating more and more chaotic condition and situation. So all this will never end. It's like, on the one hand, you say, okay, the only way for the war to go off is I must punish Russia. What type of argument is that? Then to punish Russia, you do the sanction to benefit yourself. Then after that, you supply weapon, ask them to fight more. Nonsense, crazy. Then don't want to agree on simple issue on the people's concern, the Russian concern and all those things. They don't want to sit down and talk. They want this thing to trigger home. I think there is a lot of selfish intent behind many of these movements. Now with the social media and the more connected world, I think we can start to see and understand things better. And also the information data, they get transmitted very fast. Not like in the past. In the past, most of the things are all blackout. And you wait for newspaper, sometimes you wait for 24 hours, then only the newspaper, depend on the news you read, which journalist and others. But now with the social media, you have alternative media information, which is very good. Hopefully, all this will bring about a more conducive change for the betterment of our planet. But from the look of it.
Yeah, not at the moment, right?
It's
so chaotic
very
everywhere.
Difficult.
And
yeah,
like
difficult.
Everybody is trying to, you know, have a say in this, this particular war.
Yeah.
And they are like dragging India and China into it.
Yeah, forcing people, not dragging, forcing people to take sides. And what is the motive? To make them strong, to be another big bully again. And that is the way they actually wants to control the world, which is not a sovereign nation that is economically very powerful, technologically very powerful, should do. Because you should actually be the leader to lead and bring about peace and all these things, to suppress all this unnecessary war, conflict, and bring about a new world order that is more balanced and more humanity sensitive, that can bring about more peace, more what they call order to the world. Then the United Nations must not be what it is now, so controlled. So a lot of things need to be changed or transformed for the better. So it's not going to be overnight. It's going to take a while. But at least we are now starting to witness something which is, I think, quite good in the sense that for change to happen for the better, I realize the world have to go through a very severe
upheaval.
Just like the pandemic. Not after it happened, people are not appreciative of life. A lot of things in the environment, they don't care.
Yeah.
But after what happened, now they are more serious about environment and all things, going green and all things. But after a while, it's forgotten again. So a lot of these things, you need a very severe upheaval. Then only they will start to sit down and do the correct thing. So
the yeah, Brother Teo, it's like we all our personal lives too. It's normally when correct. We are hit with very something true. Very hard and an eye opener. We will make a great effort to change ourselves and our way of life and they how we see things. Mm. Yes. I think it applies to a lot of us too.
Yeah. The individual. That's why the world is like the individual. Not until it hit severely and the whole of humanity has been threatened, nobody will look at it.
I think the only way that can bring the earthlings together is if there's an attack from outside, that is meaning the aliens.
Yeah.
I think that's the only way to bring us all together. Yeah. Otherwise, we are still so divided.
Yeah.
You know, we are so conditioned to see us and them.
Yeah,
it's always us and them. So this type of thinking will not change that much. Rachel, can I just discuss something on the food scarcity, like the in Malaysia itself, we can see, Rachel. Chemor, Perak. We already so in need of food, fresh vegetables and fruits.
Yes.
You know, we are depending on so much on these places like Chemor, Cameron Highlands and all this.
Due
to the I don't like to use the word stupidity, but that seems to be the only word that can come to my mind. They do not even think further. If this area is, demolished or whatever, imagine 50 to 60 tons of fresh vegetables every day is no more. How on earth are we going to get this replaced? And these people just refuse to accept that even if you give this farmer another piece of land, even nearby, it takes them so many years to be able to develop until the quality of
infrastructure.
You know, and just for the sake of getting fast money, country is going to suffer. And we are so much into opening land for like palm oil, durians, you know, that sort of thing. We think in terms of cash, but we do not think of the people. I mean, like rice, we can forget about rice now, you know. Rice is no more.
You can import from Thailand. Thailand has a lot.
With the problem in Ukraine, you know, something were to happen to Asia itself, all of us will have to start eating, God knows, potato or whatever instead of rice.
It's like the food chain, the supply chain. If Thailand is affected, I think it will affect a lot of countries in Asia because he's the biggest rice producer in the whole of the world. In fact, Thailand is very strong in the field of paddy, planting paddy. China, of course, also very well developed, but the population in China is so big, they can't even have sufficiency to feed themselves. There's some aspect of the food they still need to import. So far, only wheat is affected. We are actually quite fortunate in that sense, because Malaysia, even though we went through the pandemic with so much problem, our oil reserve, our Petronas is doing very well because of the good oil price. Then our palm oil is doing very well too. Here is the all-time high, 6,000 over per ton, never heard before. Then also the other aspect is our manufacturing and export, electronic and other related sector. We are doing relatively well. So in that sense, Malaysia is quite bad, but all this you cannot take for granted that it will be there. Anything can just go the other way.
Anything can just tip the scale, right?
Yeah. We are at the rate they spend money and waste money. There is a big danger we may end up. People are talking about maybe another Sri Lanka in the making.
Yeah, Bratio, we have trillions in debt, Bratio.
A lot of people
just refuse to acknowledge, especially our government.
Still
closing both eyes.
And they are still spending a lot of money. Unnecessary things,
yes.
A lot of bonds and all this thing.
At the moment, our present life, we are still considered very fortunate. I really sympathize with the future generations. Because I do not know what Malaysia is going to be by then. But this saying, hell on earth need not be after death.
That's very true. For those going through the war in Ukraine and other part of the world, actually to them it's like a mini hell on planet Earth. It's like going to hell. Their infrastructure, their utility, they have been cut off. Then facing unending threat of disaster, and the siren keep on ringing nonstop. Then food supply are not there, utility also not there. So just imagine, no water, no electricity, and no safety outside. That condition is not easy to endure. They want to run also, don't know what to do. So luckily the refugee has been quite well taken care of, relatively. But it's not easy, definitely not easy.
Brother, we are talking about Ukraine. At least they have the support of the EU countries and all these. And when we are talking about the other side of the world, like Yemen and Iraq and Afghanistan,
Afghanistan, all these are really hopeless cases.
They are really hell on earth.
And no
end to suffering.
Correct. United Nations is putting in a lot of aids and money there, but they can't solve the problem, because this problem has been created by all the big country, the nation that really like Afghanistan is the US. After they pull out, they just let it be. They don't care. Then they don't want to be responsible and they just back off. So a lot of things are happening in the world. And for Yemen also, actually pitiful. Even the Lebanese, the Middle East, there a lot. In fact, the world, if you really look at it, there are a lot of problematic situation around the globe. Even though we still have most of the country doing fairly okay, fairly well. And if it's not for the pandemic, I think the world is still in topsy-turvy, not knowing all this possible. But luckily, the pandemic actually taught us a very good lesson. And hopefully, slowly from there, we recover and things starts to change. If they don't learn from all this, it is not easy for the planet to really revive itself, to turn around, to have more understanding, or I use the word sanity. Sanity must prevail.
Well, when the earth is too violated, then Mother Earth will get its revenge on the human beings.
Of course, well,
it will happen. And Mother Earth does not need us. We need, need nature. Nature does not need us. So when the time comes,
very true. That's why the recent flood, pandemic, everything is nature's way of actually sending out the signal to fellow humanity and all this thing. The weather change and all this thing. It has affected many things.
Bertio, with that, I will end my sharing.
Hi.
Yes.
Good to see you, Stephanie. Good to see you one day in my makeup. What shall I say?
Recently, do you have any question or anything you want to share, Stephanie?
Question. I think no.
is there anything you want to share or comment on what we have discussed today?
I totally agree with PG. We are very fortunate because the Dharma to guide us and to stay afloat in this type of chaotic condition. A lot of suffering out there. All sorts. Some either is financially, I think mentally, I think radio nowadays.
Mentally is more important.
Mentally.
Without the Dhamma, a lot of people succumb to their mental problem. They cannot face the world. They cannot face a lot of things, especially the pandemic. A lot of people become like cheesy, I think, after the lockdown, everything.
Not even in, I mean, even in an affluent society like Singapore, they are financially more sound.
Yeah.
I understand from one of my friends, because my niece is studying there. Psychologist. Since open, she went last year, July. Then open up, New Year, she didn't come back. I asked my brother, is she coming back? Since opening, my brother said no. online internship.
It's quite common nowadays. Everything is being done online. Online internship is quite common. I got some niece also. I think they are doing it online in Lostar in Penang.
Because of the technology, we are so good. Apparently, I shared with my friend. My friend said, in Singapore, really, they need a lot of psychologists because apparently,
A lot of people with mental problems.
One of the friend's children went under, I think, Asian scholarship, couldn't cope with the pressure or what. To make appointment for psychologists have to wait for 2 months.
Bad.
I said, is it? I said, it's so bad.
They can go to the private one. I think private one quite easy. Maybe government one, you have to wait long queue.
Don't know whether private or what, but apparently it's in great demand.
I think that is understandable.
Having the Dharma, Bratio.
A lot of young people have mental problems, mental issues. they develop this style, what they call psychiatric problem, especially young children with depression. Quite common nowadays. A lot of them.
Also some elderly too, because of the lockdown.
Oh, of course, that one is obvious. Obvious.
One of my
but the younger generation one are the big.
More crucial, and also
more,
I think society.
Yeah, more are happening to the younger generation. In fact, they form the major group with psychiatric problem.
Radio, could it be one of the reason is they are bombarded with too much new thing, media, all sort of things?
It is an obvious thing because nowadays with the social media, the handphone, the data and all those things, their education and their exposure to life are so different now because they receive a lot of this type of thing. And if you look at it at that age, how can they cope? A lot of things is still not mature in their mind. They haven't had the proper education or anything, but all these things are coming from the technological field, from the what they call evolution of our civilization. Then a lot of this new gadget and new computer thing, AI thing, even the handphone, the apps, they are coming on stream at such a fast rate. And the mind that is too young cannot cope.
Don't know what to choose, what to believe, what to learn.
No, that one, maybe later. But during the growing up age, they cannot cope. A lot of things they cannot cope. Yeah, they still don't understand a lot of things. Then most of the time, like what we came to know and experience, they are not like us. We used to interact with real people, real personality, friends. Nowadays, they hardly meet up, especially with the pandemic, you don't go to school and all those things. There are a lot have online chat, online friend and all that. And a lot, they don't know who the other side is.
Actually true. That causes a lot of problem without the parents knowing what is in their mind.
And they can end up being scammed and very traumatic thing can happen. Then nowadays you look at the news report, the media, there's a lot of scam. Not only the normal type of scam, love scam, whatever scam, a lot of these things. And they sometimes scam the school children too. Then I trick them. And sometimes a lot of this type of crime can happen. So a lot goes unreported. And when parents are too busy, they got no time for their kids, the problem can be aggravated.
I think so. Actually, child development, when the parents don't have enough time for them, is in there?
Now, we are talking about every 10 years, there is one generation of kids coming out. That's why they got the Zen, the XYZ, Z generation. So those born during the 80s are the I think generation, they call it the XA. I cannot remember. And then 90s, the 2000 onward one, the Z generation and all things. So all this, their behavior, their exposure are totally different. That's why they call them this type of kids. Generation Y, Generation X, Generation Y, Generation Z, and all those things. And the one coming out later on, I don't know what name they give.
Wow.
So there is a lot of transformation, and we call it the great how we call it the great transformation that actually involve the psychological part, the brain, the thinking part. So a lot of pressure is been actually put into that area because of the amount of data and information that the world is giving to the new generation of kids. And most of them cannot cope. And the way they go about doing things also very different. Their thinking, their ideology, their psychological emotion, all very different.
Actually, not easy, yeah, to bring up the new kid or family.
Yeah. Especially a lot of new courses being developed. Yeah. Yesterday, I had lunch with one of my classmates. He said he has a youngest daughter. Yeah. He wants to study actuarial science. There's another one study psychology. Then there's quite a number of studies, psychiatry, psychology and all that. So the courses they take, the parents also cannot understand. The parent asked the daughter, why you want to take this course? They just say, I want to take this course. That's it. And what is this course all about? They also don't know. They say they heard from friends. Yeah, what they call peers. A lot of them are going into that field. So they go in because maybe like you say, high demand. Then they believe it's a good field. So it depends. That's why you need career guidance to give them the appropriate guideline.
Last week, my neighbors invited me for a short trip to Papa because she need to go and niece coming down for graduation from Cameron.
Oh, okay.
They don't know how to drive, so she asked me to accompany her.
So you drive all the way to Papa?
I accompany my neighbors because we stay in Tapa for a night because her elder sister, elderly couple, they look after two grandchildren. You know, these two grandchildren, the parents divorced.
So the
grandma have to look after them, the two grandchildren. The grandpa is 80 years old. These are the type of, We in our circle we don't see this. This is we have Malaysian who also like you say, 跳飞机. They went overseas to work just to send money back.
So that's
why we stay in Tapa because my neighbor want to take the sister and the children out for dinner. quite short and nice trip. And then we went to Ipoh for lunch. Then my neighbors took me to a cave called Chiletong.
Ipoh, there's a lot of cave,
And quite nice, it's very well managed. They have 18 Arahant there. They have a back garden, so it's quite properly managed. So when my neighbors asked me to take photograph, she wanted to take photograph. For me, is I always go, I like to appreciate the place instead of taking photograph. I took photograph for her. Then, so we wanted to walk to there's a, what they call, a place where you can rest.
Yeah.
Then I somehow aware something missing. Then suddenly I looked into my bag. I couldn't find my handphone.
Oh, loss.
Loss. So I say, oh, I remember I still like taking the scenery before I took photograph for her. She asked me to take it. Then we went back to the spot where I took photograph for her. Then when we were looking at the floor, then the caretaker come. She thought we collect some plant or anything. But I say, no, we're looking for my handphone.
Oh,
I dropped my handphone because I know I was there before. I was taking some photograph before she asked me to. So look. The man said, unlikely we are very safe because they have Tian Yan. That means they have CC.
Yeah, la. They have the
camera. Very safe, no pickpocketing.
Yeah, the so camera.
I am not safe because I could have dropped it. That's why I'm looking for it. Then he said, okay. Then he called the office. I was so lucky somebody picked it and left it there.
Very, very lucky.
Otherwise now when you lost your handphone,
a lot of things become very problematic.
Can be even
your banking and all those things.
You are very blessed.
Yeah.
many times close shave, somehow it appears.
Hey, you better be careful because you don't play a phone. Make sure it's all the time.
Imagine. What a relief. Then when I went to the office also very careful. They asked me what is my number. They call the number. I'll say, you all do very well. That means you really like.
Yeah, they make sure it's the correct person. Yeah.
I'm really grateful. Every time it's got condition, there's always a good Samaritan.
Yeah,
car happened, halfway.
The battery really? Incident.
It happened in the inner garden, not at the highway. Highway will be problem. Neighbor stopped by to help me also. Very, very, very blessed.
Very good.
Now, in this situation, what we can do is we can only cultivate and then create more positive energy.
Must have more and more courage. That's why you must have good mind state. You must have the Dhamma to cultivate more and more wholesomeness.
Keep
your precepts, help people, avoid evil. Do all the good things that will enhance our karmic nature. Then, of course, the wisdom part, the spiritual nature will record them and accumulate for us.
Also, our kalyamita forces are very good.
Strong.
Good progress.
Really
happy for congratulate all that.
Correct, yes. That's why we can rejoice with all the wholesomeness expressed by a lot of
people. Progress
has benefited from the Dhamma understanding.
We're and looking forward for our Cameron retreat.
Papa Sri has checked with the Tang Jia, I think. They say not now, maybe I am not very sure, maybe June or July onwards, see how it goes. They haven't opened up yet.
Now the rate has come down. The COVID cases have dropped.
Correct. In fact, a lot of temple way place they back to normal already. They can start it, but people are still cautious, especially Cameron. They don't want to have any problem later on. So we see how it goes.
Yunchan told me she's going to help out with the Uttama Vihara. They're going to have no worship. Overwhelming response. No worship. Overwhelming. Not only the helper, participant also long queue. The helper also a lot. People are
That's very good. Where is it? Which temple? Gautama.
Gautama, you remember Gautama Vihara once we donated
the Taiping there, one, is it? Not Taiping, further up, I think.
Puchong. Gautama Vihara is the...
Oh, Puchong, you're talking about Puchong.
They are supporting the nun, no? Those lady traveler.
I haven't been. I don't know.
Yeah. But once we our Kalamita fund, we make some contribution to them.
Yeah, no problem.
We made before.
Oh, we made the contribution.
I think last year.
I don't remember.
It's headed by this Reverend Mahinda's one of the disciples.
Oh, okay.
What's her name? I don't remember. Sumangala.
Okay. The lady. The lady Nana, is it?
She's not nun anymore. I think she took she wear a robe, not the Meiji anymore.
That's why I say it's a nun, it's not a Meiji anymore.
The Theravada.
Tradition. She ordained, I remember she ordained,
You met her, brother?
During the Brickfield days, I seen her before. Anything else?
Nothing much.
It's okay. If not, then we can end. It's almost 10:30 already.
Okay.
So let us rejoin with the good sharing from Sister PJ and Stephanie. Sadhu. Okay, you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we will end the whole session. Thank you for your participation and sharing. Sadhu.